You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hey everyone, I'm Noah Daniels.
Hey y'all, I'm JJ.
Hey guys, it's Kat.
And on this episode, we have the whole gang.
Hey,
back.
I'm Riley.
Oh, Riley, what are you doing? Get out of here.
You're both the support figure. Cut that out.
No, you're fine. I'll throw it.
No, we're leaving it in. I like that.
Yeah, we're going to leave that in.
More guests will be like, hello. And me.
But yeah, no, we have JJ and Kat here. It's been a busy winter, so we're super excited to have them on for this episode. How have you guys been doing?
I know. I missed all of y'all. Sorry, I've been MIA. I've just been like, work and sick and all the things that happens in the winter. So, but I'm excited to be here. Nothing really new.
Well, yeah, we're glad to have you on. Fun things to talk about. We're excited to have Riley on this episode, as you heard her chime in a minute ago.
Hey,
she is currently binge listening to the podcast and she has lots of stories to share with us. Riley, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Ooh. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's really cool to be talking to you guys.
Well, and Riley, and just to state, so you were 10 years old when this happened, right?
Probably 10 or 11, because 10, 11, 12, okay. I lived in that house.
And you also, can you tell us about the bald man that you would see?
Oh my gosh.
Usually I would only see him in the winter. And I think it was like related to the living room, because a lot of times in the winter when we put up the Christmas tree, we like to like camp out in the living room with the Christmas tree and look at the lights and stuff. And it was fun. And the living room had this big windows for like three big windows made up one of the walls. And we had a little bit of bushes and then it overlooked like the front yard and the street. And so sometimes there was just this guy there and it was very unnerving to see him. He wasn't, I wanted to say he would be like, you wouldn't mistake him for like a person. He definitely had like a bluish hue and like dark blue overalls and stuff. It was like coveralls. It kind of looked like a snowsuit. And he was kind of heavier set. And his eyes were kind of interesting because they were just really dark. And it looked like he had two black eyes every time that I saw him. It wasn't like that his eyes themselves were black, really swollen, dark blue. Baggy.
Gotcha.
Maybe like he'd been punched, but I don't know why really, but I just always associated him with snow plows. Maybe it's just because he was there in the winter, but he would just come and usually he'd just be in the yard, maybe walking like down the sidewalk. There was a couple times where he would come up behind the bushes. And one time he was like, kind of just pressing his face in on the outside and just like looking into the house, which was pretty unnerving and creepy to see.
Well, Riley, before we get too far removed from the previous stories, you did say you saw something in that basement. So I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, there was one time and I had to go down there. I don't really remember why I had to go down there. I really didn't want to. I did not want to go to the basement that day. Go over to the basement door and I'm like, okay, it's dark in the basement. I'm going to open this door and I'm going to turn on the light really fast so that nothing can be there. So I open the door and something is already there down at the bottom of the stairs. It's really freaky. It was pretty tall. It had like long flowing black robes. Its face wasn't like a person face. It was like a some kind of animal skull, like just kind of elongated. Oh. And it had like antlers that came off of it. It started to lift its hand and the robes kind of fell back a little bit. It had these long bell sleeves and it lifted its hand up. And I just saw like this discolored gray long finger just coming out from under the robes. And it had just like gnarly looking like yellowed out nails. And I didn't stick around to see what it was trying to do. I slammed the door closed and I ran. And I don't know what I needed in the basement or if it ever actually got done, but I was out of there. It was really bad. And that was before the night in the kitchen. So when that feeling came over me, I heard the creak on the stairs. Oh. I already knew the damn thing could move. And so I just did not want that experience. I didn't want it at all.
That's a lot for a 10-year-old to endure.
Yeah. I mean,
did you just tell your parents about that constantly or did they kind of,
I had this understanding that I should not tell my parents any of the things that I saw that probably weren't really there because then they would think I was crazy. So I talked to my sisters about it. That was kind of my outlet.
It's definitely convincing me that the other thing was protecting you from it, you know?
Well, that might play out to be true because if it was the same thing that I saw later, like in this house, the thing that I saw here did turn around, even though it was really scary when I saw it, did turn around and protect me from something else.
So you saw something at this house that you're currently at?
Yeah, I've kind of seen them things always, not always bad things, thankfully. That makes the pills a little easier to swallow because I know that there's nice things too. But I did, I've seen a few things here. I had a problem with like a gray, it was like a cloud when sometimes it would be like a skinny, sickly looking bald guy. And my son actually saw that at one point too. And I had a friend that stayed here and she saw that. That one was more just annoying than anything. He was kind of sticky, so like every time I would throw him out he would kind of bounce back, and he causes me trouble like in the kitchen and stuff, pushing stuff around or trying to, like if I'm trying to open a can opener and it really just feels like something is actively spinning my hands the other way, and I have carpal tunnel really bad, so it's already hard for me to open this can, and so it feels like something's just like providing opposite pressure to where I can't do what I need to do.
What do you mean when you say you would throw him out?
I would kind of meditate a little bit and just like I build up a whole bunch of energy and just push it out to all the corners of the room. And then I would usually walk through the house saying like the Lord's Prayer or, you know, just praying or talking to God, just kind of general words. I'm very religious if you guys haven't pulled that already. And it usually works. Like for most things, I don't have to do that a lot, but some things are just sticky and they just want to keep coming back. Like if I find something that I don't like, I will get rid of it that way. If it doesn't cause me any problems, then, you know, then we coexist.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. On this episode, Joshua was kind enough to jump on and co-host with us. Hey, Joshua, how have you been?
I've been great. Busy, tired, the usual. Nothing's really changed on that end. Glad to be back.
I meant to ask you off air, but I guess I'll just do it on air, and then I can take it out if you want me to. How close is your wife to giving birth?
A month. Our little boy is supposed to be born on February 28th. I don't think he's going to make it because he's gigantic. So I have an offensive tackle coming pretty soon.
That's awesome, man. I can't wait for that. And we'll obviously be celebrating you along the way for that.
Thank you.
On this episode, we have Evelyn. She has some really spooky stories that I listen to on TikTok. You can find her TikTok at EXELYNN, L-Y-N-N. But yeah, she's got a story about a ghost boy, some spooky stuff happened with her sister, and then we just learned that she grew up in a haunted house. Evelyn, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm super excited to be on.
Well, I feel like that's a pretty good transition. Not that it's exactly sleep paralysis, but the story about your sister when she was dreaming, I'd love to hear that.
My sister, and I want to preface because I had to ask permission for her to even share that TikTok, because for her, it was absolutely terrifying. It actually like really left a mark on her for a while. Before I say this, I just want to say that, you know, when I tell these stories, tell them very whimsically, but this stuff is real and it did happen to us, and some people are jealous that it happened, and I don't think you want this stuff to happen to you because it can be very scary. So I want to say that my sister experienced a lot of paranormal stuff in the house that was more terror filled. My dad called it demonic. When I went to lunch with him, he said everything you experienced was very mysterious or strange or weird. He said a lot of things your sister experienced was very demonic, almost terror filled. So very interesting. She does not dream, and whenever she did dream growing up, she would only dream in black and white, and they would only be nightmares. So that's a very specific thing. So I got used to her waking up to a nightmare and just being, she was never one to like really overreact, but you know, she would wake me up and be like, oh, I just had a bad nightmare. And so I was used to that. Well, this one night I'm laying in bed and I am texting this boy. It's like 1 a.m. I'm texting this boy that I go to school with, and we're talking about, ironically, the dream realm. And my sister starts to scream, out of nowhere. She just starts screaming, and it's a piercing scream that has me jumping out of my bed and turning on the lights. Like, what is happening? I go over to her bed, and she's like tossing and turning with her eyes still closed, but she's screaming. And I'm like, princess. And I try to like shake her and wake her up. And she's just like shaking in bed. And so I run to my parents' room, which is right next door. And I burst through the door and I turn on the light. They're already kind of up because they heard her scream. And I'm like, come in here right now. And they go in there, and my dad is like shaking her, and she will not open her eyes, but she's still screaming. So this is like terrifying for me because I'm just standing there. It's 1 a.m. My mom's standing at the door. My dad's trying to wake her up. And finally, she wakes up. She opens her eyes and she's in shock, obviously, because all of a sudden everyone's like staring at her, looking at her, and she's like hyperventilating. She can't breathe. So he tells her to sit up. She sits up. And she's just trying to compose herself while my parents are like, what happened? She starts to explain that she was in a nightmare, and there were these guys who were trying to take her, and they were beating her and just all of this really bad stuff. And then we notice the marks on her neck. She has across her neck what looks like rope burns. It looks like somebody had taken a rope and literally just burned into her skin. And because it wasn't just like a red line, it was, I could see the little rope patterns, and it was red and bruised. And this was terrifying for her, for us. And a lot of people in the comments did say it could be a sleep paralysis demon, or that this stuff does happen to people. She got the most extent of it, because we both would wake up at times with bruises on our body, scratches on our legs, strange stuff like that. She even woke up, she used to sleep with her slippers on. She even woke up one time with a burn hole, as if someone had held like fire to the bottom of her foot and burned through the bottom of her slipper. And we don't know how to explain that. So that's the story with her. And in the TikTok I shared, I even have proof of, I had the boy I was texting at 1 a.m. I sent him a text message, and I show the screenshot of the day and the time. It's like 1 something a.m. saying like what had just happened to my sister.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
Hey, guys. It's Kat.
And on this episode, we have a very special guest. She is super popular on TikTok and offers a pretty unique view of the supernatural / paranormal. It's Savannah. Yeah. Savannah, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thanks, y'all, for having me. Like, I definitely have these abilities, these giftings, but I was probably like 18 before I finally figured out how to put a veil up and not allow things to just mess with me all the time. I'm much better at it now that I have left the church and I'm not constantly surrounded by it at all times.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a strain.
Well, spoiler, I was just about to ask you if that your mediumship gifts and what you were able to see that others were not, if it conflicted with the ideals of the church and caused a split. But I mean, I don't know if that's why, but it sounds like something did.
That isn't what made me leave. I attended a different church once I met my husband, and his parents were the pastors, and they were very much kind of, we don't want the woo-woo here. So I had to learn how to like tone it down a lot. Thought I was doing a good job. I was not. But the churches that I grew up in, it was at, I mean, I got called to go to other churches to help their pastors to figure out what was going on. My specific giftings, I'm not like an evidential medium that just like, I'm going to talk to your dead grandpa and he's going to show me birds or something. I'm going to walk into a room and tell you this happened in this room. These people are involved or were involved. And I can see that you are struggling with alcoholism right now, or that dude is cheating on his wife right now. Like, that's my kind of specific.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm more, I don't even know if I should call myself a medium, more of like a shadow worker that I am a little more in control of now. But at that time, I was not in control of it. And I would venture to say was a bit exploited for that gift.
Yeah.
That's kind of a story we haven't heard before on the podcast, where somebody has those gifts and was kind of intertwined with the church.
It's a big burden.
Yeah. So kind of that intense religious atmosphere, was that pretty common for the part of the, like where you grew up? Like, were churches like that all over that area?
Oh yeah. I grew up in the Bible Belt. That's still a thing right now. I've noticed that there's been a big turn intentionally towards deliverance and getting more into seeing the demons and seeing the witches everywhere, with the rise of people like Greg Locke and other TikTok pastors and that sort of thing. It's becoming heavily prevalent, and it's concerning, like, to say the least. So yeah, it's common.
Do you think that, like, in a totally kind of cynical mindset, like, that's kind of a way to recruit younger people who may be more interested in more like new age spirituality and like more the woo-woo kind of stuff?
Absolutely. And I think there's such, at the same time, this is rising up in the church, but there's also been a big exodus from the church since like 2020, where people are getting more into just general spirituality and learning how to manifest and all of the sorts. And the Christian pastors that are paying attention to that are using the Christianese versions of those things a lot more than they used to.
Is your family still heavily involved with the church?
I left first, and my parents are on their own somewhat deconstruction journey. I don't really ask about it. I don't want to influence it in any way. I want them to naturally find whatever truths and peace they are looking for. My in-laws, I live in their yard now in my camper. They are still actively pastors. So it's complicated.
Yeah. And I was just about to say, what do they think about your social media presence?
We don't talk about it. it's just not brought up. Don't mention it.
Your husband's never like, hey, do you know Savannah's got, and you just like kick him under the table, like, nope, we're not going into this.
Oh, he tries to like prod every now and then, but they so don't want anything to do with it that it's just change the subject immediately. Like, let's just all pretend to be happy and we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Not even like scripted lore about the Appalachian area, like you ever bring up Bigfoot or soft subjects
like
that?
Now, my father-in-law is like super duper into like the Bigfoot and Skinwalker Ranch shows, so we've been able to kind of connect up that a little bit. And yes, I like, I have an in, like, I might make him like me eventually. That's about it.
I get to see you being like, yeah, Bigfoot's really cool. Do you know somebody died in that corner of your house like 30 years ago? And he's like, ah.
Yeah, it's always been, no, don't, absolutely not. Do not talk about that.
Well, not to harp on this part of it too much, but it's just so interesting, the thought of you as a teenager kind of being paraded around to homes to sever some demonic connection with a family or a house.
Also, we all have like deconstruction in our recent or longer past from the church. So
I thought you were going to be like, we all have demons in our homes. Like, that's what she's talking about.
Why we're like so interested in that topic. Yeah. Cause it feels like a very safe place to talk about it. If you're comfortable with that.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Kind of one of my final questions about that period of your life. Is there any very memorable story, or is there a memorable story you could share about that time when you were going to somebody's house and you feel like you really did accomplish helping that person with something that was very intense for them or their family?
Yeah. I mean, there were several times where I remember there was one person who, when I walked in, immediately I saw her sexual assault play out in front of me. Yeah. And there was some just heavy, even like a physical manifestation of that grief and of that trauma was just like present in that place. And at the time that was demon. But now looking back, I mean, she was just so overwhelmed and so traumatized. Like it had just taken on an almost physical form. And we were able to help her at different stages. As she healed, as she got help for that, it became easier and the activity decreased. But then there were other times where absolutely not. Like this person was just sick. And they needed to like maybe go to the hospital. Like this is just not okay. One time I saw someone levitate. That's Whoa. Always a conversation starter.
What? Yeah. I'm sorry. What? Like light
was
as
it
a feather?
Like exorcism or something like that?
It turned into it real quick.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
They start coming up off the ground and you're, well, this, I guess we're doing this right now. Me and you, let's go. Yeah.
Was it just you there or other people?
No. I never went alone. I always had my parents with me, at least, if not some other adults from the church.
Mm-hmm. When that happens, are you able to see an entity causing that? Or is it just it's happening and you know there's something supernatural taking place?
At times, the majority of the time when there was something that when it was occurring and I don't have any other word for it than demon, I could literally see. I hate saying I could see a demon. Whatever it was, I could actually physically see the entity that was present.
And so do you immediately start verbally kind of going after or attacking that entity to stop the possession or levitation of that person? Like, how do you resolve that issue?
What I allowed my role to be, because they tried to kind of put me in that role for me to take the lead and me to do the casting out. And it was too much. It was just too much. I'm like, I'm the only one with eyes and ears on the situation. Like, y'all can handle the rest. I would just verbally describe what I was seeing, what I was feeling, what I was hearing, tell everyone else. I'm like, and now you guys do the thing. And so let them go into the deliverance part of things.
And is there anything that you see in like movies and media that they get right about that situation, or they get incredibly wrong about that situation?
It's usually, God, the majority of movies are just Catholic propaganda. And I have such a hard time even enjoying them anymore, which sucks because I used to be a horror buff. Occasionally, they're very close to reality, but the majority of the time it's completely overdramatized, like as to what actually occurs in real life.
I got you. So, for example, the movie Deliverance,
that's not really like a supernatural one, isn't it? Deliverance? That's like people go on like a river camping trip
am I
and
thinking
get
about the...
kidnapped. Wait. Are you thinking of The Exorcist?
That's Banjos.
Exorcist. Thank you.
Yeah. Dueling Banjos.
Sorry. I was like, wait, JJ's right. What am I thinking about? Exorcist. Sorry. We had this weird thing happen once
Dueling
where we had.
Dueling Banjos.
Where
right. But like, that's the movie name?
No, it's a song that like the little kid.
That's a different movie. Dueling Banjos. That's like a YouTube video.
Like an inbred kid that plays the banjo. And
I know the song. Oh,
okay.
I got confused with how it was related to the conversation, but I'm in. Here we go.
But The Exorcist, you know, that's like, I think, an example a lot of people go to. We randomly had a guest on who was not on to, for anything to do with The Exorcist. And she was like, oh, yeah, my great uncle was one of the
priests.
Exorcisers. Yeah. Who was at the actual, you know, so that movie, for example, you know, with like the vomit and all that stuff. Do you feel like that's a little over dramatized or?
And the dueling banjos.
Completely. Completely. Never seen anybody's head. You know, do a full 360. I have seen people throw up like after, like, mm-hmm. It's almost just this like physical release. I don't know why that happens. Not to that degree, to the Exorcist degree of throwing up, but I have, yeah, people do throw up sometimes.
Just like a normal amount of throw up.
Just, yes, you know, okay. Whatever there's the normal stomach contents already were.
Right.
That's a good question.
There's not like a vortex of stuff like in the movie.
Spewing. No.
Yeah.
We call that calling dinosaurs in my house when somebody has to vomit. Not sure if anybody else does that.
That's so cute.
First of all, thank you for sharing all that. We really dug around in that for a while, and I appreciate you being vulnerable enough to. I mean, that's really one of the more fascinating things I've heard on this podcast. With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Riley.
I'm Joshua Darren.
And I'm Evelyn Salazar.
I'm Savannah.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.